You're listening to Tarazi Tuesdays with The Bible as Literature.
Hi, this is Father Mark Boulos, and you are listening to Tarazi Tuesdays with The Bible as Literature podcast. Every immigrant, every minority, and every colonized person living under a human boot faces the same dilemma. How to live without imitating or accepting the ways of the human gods that impose their glory. We have, a wise poet once said, on this earth what makes life worth living. Scripture. Father Paul has explained many times, forged a path for living in the ancient world by refusing to accept the glory of Alexander, the Seleucids, and all who came after them by pushing back, not by working within their system, not by playing their game or thinking like them, least of all by adopting their language. With no hope from under their boot, Scripture came up with biblical Hebrew to force the Greeks to submit to the scriptural God. They did not study Greek or capitulate to Greek culture in order to convince or get ahead in Greek society and maybe attract a few wealthy people to their secret cult. You're thinking of the harlots in 1 Corinthians. Don't be like the harlots in 1 Corinthians. You become what you accept. So reject everything and become nothing like the biblical prophets. Trust me, when you are nothing, you have more free time to study Semitic triliterals. The more you know Semitic, the better your chance of hearing God speak. So when in Rome, smile at the Romans, the Greeks, or the freedom-loving ice cream people. Politely ignore them and do what Paul says. I am delighted to introduce Father Paul on the Bible as Literature podcast, Tarazi Tuesdays.
Okay, the intention was obviously to emasculate the apparent power of the conqueror, Alexander, Seleucids, Pharaoh, and so on and so forth. Actually, along this line, the ultimate strike is the taming of the most majestic among the opponents, which is Cyrus the Persian. Remember, Persian meant Indo-Aryan, like Alexander. And he is made into the anointed and the shepherd of the Lord in Isaiah 45. So it's really very interesting to know scripture, Abuna. We can go by theology. But as I said and I repeat, it's a price to be paid by the people under the boot to understand that they should not try to imitate. Notice the comment of Mark regarding Said, saying that we have to adopt the Western narrative, and Mark said, no, you can't do that. But how would the message get to the Greeks, the outsiders, if it is not in Greek? But then, very smartly, they decided the primary was the Hebrew, which is the language they came up with. To force the hand of the Greek that he has to submit. And I'll get to Ecclesiasticus regarding that. But this was already in their mind, my conviction, obviously. And by the same token, since the original is in Hebrew, it is immediately addressed to their own people. And this is reflected in the Torah, how it is handed to the biblical Israel. It is not handed to the Gentiles. It is handed to the biblical Israel. So the addressees are the people, because ultimately that is the pain in the rear end of God, if I may put it this way. It was Israel, not so much the nations. And this is the tendency of the human beings. You find it in 1 Samuel 8, that Israel wanted to be like the other nations. And God said, no, I have separated you, if you remember. Now, let me begin with circumcision, because it is at the heart of the matter. The blow against the opponents is that if they have to join the community of God, they have to submit to circumcision, Genesis 17. And there you have both Abraham and Sarah. It's a very powerful text, that are referred to as the father of all nations and Sarah the mother of many nations and kings and kingdoms and so on. Very interesting and essential chapter 17. The wording. And this was unacceptable to both because, you know, they laughed. They said, it can't be. And the Lord belied Sarah that she laughed. You see the power of the text. It's amazing. And that is against the Greeks, you know, because the body was divine, you know. This is how the human beings are half gods and can be like gods and so on. And we know this whole thing. I'm not saying that Egypt is better. It's still the same all over the place. Cyrus, Darius, and so on, all of them. And the writers stress that, no, we are basically Bnei Adam. We are from Adam, who is from the Adama. Later, and I can give you these texts, you know, in the Bible, when it comes to the circumcision of the foreskin of the heart, it is God who does it. The text is very clear. I shall circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Whatever it means and so on, but that's what you're hearing. In other words, to go back to Genesis 17, it's Abraham that does the circumcision. And when a son is born, the mother does the circumcision in the law. But God does that specific circumcision, which is the foreskin of the heart. And then you have the reference against circumcision as a show-off in Jeremiah. That, I mean, you have so many people around you that are circumcised. So clearly circumcision is not addressed to the people of the East, but to the people of the West. It is against the people of the West. And thus, if I jump to Paul, I'm convinced that he understood this correctly. It's not that I like him or I don't like him. He just understood correctly, in spite of all what the NATO scholars say about him. He was tergiversating and vacillating and back and forth. He didn't really know what to do with the Torah and circumcision. He's following the biblical story. So this business of, let's call it, the East facing the West, but, you know, people may misunderstand that. In other words, the authors and their opponents, they have to submit. Let's go a little bit further into Genesis. At one point, Noah has three sons, but then the following genealogy is the genealogy of Shem, very clearly in chapter 10. Not only Ham, but also Japheth are eliminated. And Shem is a powerful name. It is the name. So you are marked by God. But how does this happen? Later through the Torah, where you are marked directly by God. Why do I say directly? Because the message is through Moses, the younger brother, and not Aaron, the older brother, who officially is the priest. And here we can quote the tradition in all the nations where it's the priest that anoint the king. I mean, we just saw that with, what's his name, the king of England. He just became king and then everybody is waiting for his death. He has cancer and so on. But it is the priest, and the oil came from Jerusalem, blessed by both the Orthodox Patriarch and the Anglican Archbishop and so on. So I'm throwing all these things because in my mind they are interconnected, and this is what makes my teaching not easily palatable, because the people like to dissect. Let's speak about the liver today. Well, I went to medical school. Ultimately, you have a body. You are dealing not so much with a person, but with a given body. Whether this body goes to the cardiologist or to the gastroenterologist or to the pulmonologist and so on, it's ultimately the body. I mean, in medications today, you hear, watch out, some medications work one against the other, don't take them at the same time, and so on and so forth. It's a way to say, I'm going to heal your liver, but technically you're healing the body, not the person. Okay, the person is for those psychologists, which I don't want to debate with them. Psyche. Let me deal with your psyche. Well, your psyche is basically chemical, as we have discovered nowadays. Why am I going on aside? To repeat myself, that you have to put together all my chapters. You cannot read one chapter and then start debating with me. Like if you read my last book without reading the last part where I said that all the personalities of this New Testament, including Paul and Jesus, are made up, then that's what I'm saying. You cannot dismiss it and suddenly take me to stand together with you before the icon of the Logos. Can't do that. Or the King of Glory. Suddenly Jesus Christ is the King of Glory. There is only one King of Glory. So, by beginning with the circumcision, I make my point regarding the intent, which is the what for and the how of the Bible.
The Bible as Literature is a production of the Ephesus School Network.